This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Hello, and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. And, well, this week, you're not going to hear the dulcet tones of the mermaid Anna Knox. She is on assignment with family this week. With me this time around, not new to me, as you'll find out here in a few minutes, but perhaps new to you listeners. Not new to the Facebook page, of course. You might have seen his comments there, but new to you listeners, longtime friend of mine, longtime Caps fan, my good friend, Doug Lucerarian. Doug, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Let me present you to the listeners here. Of course, let me give a quick background history. Doug and I have known each other since grade school. What was it? Third grade? Second grade? Good Lord.
Probably about that long. May even been probably longer than that, but yeah, it's probably been a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy long time. Of course, we've always been Caps fans, since then and beyond, but, yeah. So, first question I always ask is, how'd you get your start, as a Caps fan?
My dad took me to a game probably when I was about 4 years old, and went to go see the Caps Flyers, which was always fun, back in like 1978-ish time frame.
Oh yeah.
And one of the things I always remember at Caps Center for games, especially like that, where it was rivalry and everything like that, was there was probably more fights in the stands than there were on the ice. And it was always one of the things I always remember about that game. It was awesome, and I loved it, and it got me into hockey, and been a Caps fan ever since.
Yeah, some not so good teams for the Caps in the late 70s, but good teams for the Flyers. But yeah, those were always pretty entertaining to go to, like you said, with the fights in the stands. I think they started to peak after that in the 80s. That's when I watched them, of course, but that's when they started to peak. And you and I, we'd always sit on each other's front porches talking about, you know, how they were doing and what their chances were for the cup and all that. And that's a pretty good memory I got. So tell our listeners a bit about yourself. What have you been up to these days? What do you do for a living?
I work for JP Morgan Chase.
Oh, nice.
And yeah. So, basically I am what they call like a product owner, and I own a bunch of the applications that if you went on to chase.com, you would, be entering into, whether it be car loan, business loans, this, that, and the other. I basically am one of the ones that are the key components to all those applications. So, I've been there for about 3+ years. It's been very rewarding, a lot of fun. I've been married for 20+ years now with 4 boys, 2 that are in college and 1 that is in 11th grade and another 1 in 4.
Nice. So, wow. Okay. So, I've kind of might be stepping into the danger zone with a non-disclosure agreement or whatever they made me sign. But, I also work for a, local financial institution. I actually do tech support for them.
Nice.
So probably, not be talking shop, I guess, but, Yeah, that's that's interesting. I didn't realize that's where you were. Last I heard, I'd heard you were with Comcast. As last I heard.
That was a number of years ago. I've moved on. Went to Cars.com for a little bit, and then moved over to Chase about three years ago now.
Nice. All right. So you've been watching Caps games as long as I have. What do you think their chances are this year?
I think they have as good a chance as any right now in the East. You see how they're playing. I think one of the things that you're seeing right now is some of the injuries is actually starting to show that we have some decent youth that are stepping up and playing well, whether it be Connor McMichael. Obviously we got our goaltenders that are still young and stuff like that. So, we're in pretty decent shape from that point. And if you take a look at some of the other teams, I mean, you got Carolina, you got Tampa, obviously, it's not going to be an easy road, but if they play the way that they're capable and some of their veterans come into play, we got as good a chance as anybody.
So you don't buy this whole window is closed thing?
I would have I think that one of the things that is encouraging is the fact that we do have this youth that is coming in and infusing some talent that I think a lot of people were concerned where we were going to lose because, you look like it, you see Oshie come back, right? And he was gone for what, games? Backstrom hasn't played at all. And yet we really haven't missed a beat. They're probably as good a record as what they've had in the past 5 or 6 years. The other piece of it is, as much as everyone keeps waiting for Ovi to, start slowing down, he's showing no signs of slowing down as of right now. This is most None goals whatsoever. That he's had at this point, and he's what, 6? So, it's great to see, and maybe some of this youth is reinvigorating the team a little bit.
Yeah. Good observations. Yeah, and all good to see. As far as the youth, you're definitely right about that. So, all right. So it was a pretty long week of hockey. We've got 4 games to cover, and because of time constraints, we're not going to get too deep into too many of them. And but I've also got a couple of announcements I'd like to make. Of course, we try to represent the DMV as much as we can. So want to give a nice shout and announcement to the Washington Spirit NWSL soccer team. Congratulations for winning their cup, winning the playoffs, winning their championship this year. And of course, Alex Ovechkin pledging part ownership to them. That's why that's significant. But even if he didn't, they're another sports team in the area that deserves some recognition, deserves a little love thrown their way. So I just wanted to congratulate them. Also, it's still November, so this is still Hockey Fights Cancer Month. So I encourage our listeners and all Caps fans to visit the NHL.com community page and the Washington Capitals homepage for details on merchandise you can get that's being auctioned off and sold to benefit cancer research, of course. And of course, last week we made a point of talking about Linda Loughlin and the Loughlin Family Foundation, of course, also definitely a worthwhile charity there. So speaking of Caps Fight Cancer, the signature game that they have every month is always in the middle of the month, which happened to be the first game of the week this past Sunday against the dreaded flightless birds, the Penguins from Pittsburgh. I wish we had time to go over all the details, all the glorious highlights of this game, but we don't. But of course, everybody saw it's a 6-1 win against the Penguins. Of course, Sidney Crosby coming back from, I heard he was injured, but they said it was COVID protocol he was actually on.
Yeah, I thought he was injured as well. Maybe he was injured and then he got sick afterwards, but I knew he was out for a good while.
Yeah, that seemed a bit strange to me, but either way, that was his season debut, and they completely spoiled it. Fervari opened the scoring with a shorthanded goal of all things in the first period. Hathaway got one about 10 minutes later, and then I hate this guy, Jake Guentzel, made it 2-1. He always scores against the Caps. Always.
He's legit. He's good. You know,
I get that, but I mean, I want somebody to put a body on that guy. I mean, good God.
That's always been one of our biggest, if you want to have a criticism of our defense over the years. I mean, we haven't had that one guy who can just sit there and clear the crease, you know, and You saw that right there with that play. I mean, he was able to sit there and stick handle and get that puck around Vanacek.
Yeah, and not that I want to waste a whole lot of time on this, but one of my pet peeves is a guy I said this offseason they need to look to get rid of, John Carlson. And I think if you were watching the replays of this goal, you should know why by now. And I actually put out a tweet that basically said, what was he doing? Was he trying to propose to Jake Guentzel? Because if you look at the replay, he was down on one knee. He had his stick out doing some half-ass poke check. And like you said, Guentzel just danced around him, stick-handled around him, and put a nice little wrister, and like it was nothing. And
yeah. You and I have had multiple discussions with regards to John Carlson. He's definitely got the offensive skills and, you know, and everything, but, you know, to be your highest paid defenseman and to literally be that human pylon, like we talk about. There's a little bit of a problem there. I mean, you know, I happened to be in Columbus and was able to see that game when the Caps were playing Columbus a couple weeks ago. And, you know, that play where he just let that guy go right around him.
He put his arms up like Roberto Duran, no mas, and just walked around like, yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You and I are old enough to know that reference. So. Back to the game. Hathaway with his third, that actually turned out to be the game winner. Ovechkin and, the captain and the and Van Riemsdyk with the assist on that one. And then it was after Guentzel's goal, Caps just ran away with it. They took the play over. I don't know if the Penguins were just tired or they just, you know, just didn't have any chemistry. They haven't been doing great. I thought Tristan Jarry, though, the first couple periods, he stood on his head. This could have been way worse.
Oh, it could have been a lot worse. I think one of the cool things about this game was, you know, in previous games, you were seeing a lot of your top heavy, you know, your top line was scoring a lot of the goals and stuff like that. I mean, you had six goals and all scored by different players, right? And you had Kuzi, you had Hathaway, I think Sheary scored. I'm just trying to remember it. But I know that there was nobody that scored two goals, and it was kind of spread across the whole team. So that was nice to see because you saw all four lines really playing a great game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think anybody save for Carlson on that goal had really a bad moment even or a bad game. Yep. So the rest of the goals went like this in order. Sprong with his third, Sherry his third, both in the second period. So in the third, Kuzi with his sixth, also assisted by the captain. And to ice it, power play goal by Tom Wilson, his fourth, assisted by Kuznetsov and Carlson. Nifty backhander on that one. Your three stars of the game, Hathaway, Sherry, and Vitek Vanacek. Pretty solid performance in net. Quick run of the vitals. Again, Caps ran away with this game where it counted 32 shots on goal. Average performance in the dot, 49% win, 1-for-3 on the power play, 27 hits. And that to me tells you, you know, pretty much how the game went. I think it was a little of both. The Caps were firing on all cylinders this game, and Penguins look a little bit out of it, and you know, kind of a perfect storm, but still a great, great game had by all, I think, on this one. For
yep,
sure.
I agree. And yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh was a little bit, they were starting to have some of their issues, but it looks like they started to turn it around. I think they've had two straight shutouts or something like that. So they've looked relatively decent. So I think we caught them at just the right time.
Yeah. I was going to say, I still would not count them out. They still have quite a bit of talent. They still got a solid core. They got Gensel, of course, Malkin, Crosby, and Letang on the back line still, and Dumoulin, who I think also just came back from injury. So, their record doesn't look good right now, but I would not count them out for anything.
Not at all.
Not by a long shot. All right, so there was that game. Then they started the road trip, and I kind of want to draw a line through this game because it was, to me, it looked like another one of those times where the Caps just took a long time to get into it. But once they were, they played like they can. They played to their potential, but it was kind of sort of too little too late, even though they ended up forcing overtime. So this is the first game of the Western road trip against the Anaheim Ducks. They fell behind early, 1-0. We're going to get into this a little bit later, you and I. But the first goal by Cam Fowler is, if you look at the replay, and I think two of these goals at least, Vanecek probably would look at it and say, you know what, I need that back. I want to have that back. But I'm neither a Sammy guy nor a Vitek guy. I'm kind of like you. I want to wait and see who really establishes themselves as the number one. But I see good things in both, and I see flaws in both. And I think Vitek could have had himself a better game here because a couple of these, this one, the first one and the OT goal, he could have had, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the one thing that if you've seen me on any of the social media posts and stuff like that, you know, I want both of them to succeed. And I look at both of them as being, I mean, they're both RFAs. And if you're not going to make a move at the trade deadline, I feel like one of them is probably going to be gone by next year's draft because from a salary cap perspective, they're both going to want increases. I don't think we're going to be able to sign both. You know, so this year is the opportunity for both of them to really stand out and kind of put themselves as that number one. And when you look at Vitek in that game, I mean, he had a couple that, you know, you can hem and haw on, but there were some, it was what, a 2-on-0 breakaway. And he
I just remembered that you're right. There was a 2-on-0. It actually made number 9 in the NHL, this week's top 10 saves. So I'll give him that too. Yes. He did stop that 2-on-0, pretty stellar. So, you know, I don't want to be too down on him, but again, when it counted, you know, yeah, I want the guy to succeed, but when it really, really counts, he hasn't really been coming through, at least not lately.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, and we'll get into this a little bit more probably, but I mean, like, you know, the love that Vitek gets as opposed to Sammy. And I mean, you look at Sammy's record over the course of his career and stuff like that. And even what he's done so far this year, I mean, you know, he's been pretty stellar. You know, they might have different methods in how they stop the puck and position themselves, but man, they both have really good save percentages, and obviously their records are both relatively good too. But Sammy's killing it so far this year.
Yeah, the numbers don't lie. I mean, overall, in the courses of their short careers, you know, Samsonov has better numbers, and that really can't be ignored. I think, unfortunately, people are paying way too much to, you know, the games where he, you know, he was in net, and it was run and gun back and forth, and you know, he let in four and five, and sometimes, you know, two within a minute, and people would see that, they'd go ballistic. And but, you know, but then again, who has all the shutouts this year? So yeah. But you know, I guess that's part of the argument. You know, you're going to get feast or famine, you know, sometimes, and it just, you know, I think what fans are trying to say in their own way is, you know, let's have a little more consistency here. But,
you know, but if you take a look at it, what is he now, 6-0-1?
Yeah,
I mean that's pretty damn consistent.
That's pretty good. But yeah, I think people are just too, you know, they get too you know, crazed over, you know, when, you know, there's goals let in, you know, in quick succession.
Yeah.
And there's more than three, you know, I said it before, and I hate to knock my own people, but I think Caps fans, ever since, you know, Ovi started his career, they've been too used to the Capitals winning games by, you know, 5-1, 6-1, 6-2, things like that.
Yep.
And, you know, it's kind of spoiled them. And, you know, when they see our defense let up more than 1-2 goals a game, then they who do they look at? The goalie, and then the defense, and then the coaching, and then oh God, this is a disaster. And you know, and the sad reality is all teams go through this, where they kind of let down with the defense. You can't play defense 100% of the time, especially when, as we said, you got a top heavy lineup like what they have. So.
Absolutely. And I mean, even if you look at Vitek, right? I mean, Vitek in that game against the Ducks, he had a couple that you could have questioned, but there was also saves that, you know, he stood on his head. So, I mean, if you got to look at it at a 60 minute, you know, perspective, and then you got to look at it over the course of, you know, a number of games. But I mean, if you even look at that game, he stood on his head on that 2-on-0 and a couple other big saves that he had that he more than made up for the ones that you kind of say were questionable to a certain degree. I mean, mm-hmm. He still had an over 90% save percentage in that game. You know, Vitek is Vitek. Vitek is, you know what you're getting every game when it comes to him.
And, true.
And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing, right?
Right.
You know, and Sammy is going to be Sammy. And Sammy's going to ball out and have some games where he is, you know, he's had his back-to-back shutouts and made some incredible saves in the last couple games, you know, and he was the difference maker. You know, there's both of their save percentages are good to very good. So, I just feel like, you know, whenever you're watching them, some of the goals, you know, could be questionable, but if you look at it as over the course of the entire games, dude, they're both doing incredible.
Yeah, I totally get that. I'm not really really down on either one of them. Although, I mean, I can see the flaws in each of their games. We'll get more into that later on.
Yep.
After we've recapped everything, because I did promise that we kind of cover that. So, getting back to this game, no goals in the second. Garrett Pilon, his first career goal, ties it 1-1. Ferravari and Carlson on the assist on that one. Trevor Zegras, who had himself a hell of a game for the Ducks, got the first of his pair, bringing the Ducks up 2-1. And then, I know Anna's probably listening, so I got to give him some more love. Tom Wilson again, another clutch goal towards the end of the game, ties it 2-2, forcing overtime with a wonderful deflection from in front of the net. And I've said it all along, I think that's where he's offensively, that's going to be, he's got a hell of a shot, but that's where he's going to do the most damage. You put a big body in front who's got some hands, that's where you need him to be so he can do the most damage.
100%. I agree 100% on that.
Yep. Okay. So on to overtime we went, and Zegras got the game winner, of course. And I'm going to refer to this goal again, but it looked like a 2-on-1 at first, and then Cousy got back in time, got in his way a little bit. I don't know if maybe Vitek was screened on this a bit or what, but it was a solid wrister that found that sweet spot between the shoulder pads and the crossbar. And I got to admit, I was disgusted by that goal because I've seen Vitek let up that before. But you know, what are you going to do? You know, if you give a guy like that, an open shot like that, a lot of the time he's going to make it. But I really think, I'm just going to come out and say, I think the biggest flaw in Vanacek's game is he positions himself way too low. And like I said, I've seen him get beat by that wrister probably too many times this year. And I'm sure Scott Murray, the goaltending coach, has tried to work with him on that, but he just has that bad habit of getting way too low in that crouch position. He's technique is pretty solid. Otherwise he gets himself square, but I think he just gets himself a little too low. And if you got a skilled enough player, they can roof it. And that's just something I think he's got to work on. That's the, probably the one big flaw in his game right now.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's been what, a year, a little bit over a year where, you know, he's been a number one goaltender and everything. People are starting to get that book on him in terms of, like you said, if he's getting down enough, they're going up high, and you're seeing more and more goals, more and more shots going up high to try and beat him. So the book is out on him to a certain degree. Now it's just a matter of what's he going to do to sit there and correct that.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it's something that'll hold him back, but it's definitely something he's got to work on for sure.
No, to improve. I agree.
Okay, so thus ended that game. So Caps go up I-5 to a Staples Center the next night to face the Chrome Dome Kings. And this one was pretty much the Garnet Hathaway and Ilya Samsonov show. I wish we could spend more time on it because it was probably as close to a perfect game as they played all year. Samsonov, of course, your number one star, turned away all 34 shots. Couldn't ask for anything more from the guy. Some of them, some pretty high danger chances.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, Garnet Hathaway finally breaking through in the third, getting a tip-in goal late in the game to break the scoring deadlock. This was definitely a defensive and goalie duel up until then and beyond. But it was nice to see that the Caps can clamp down when they absolutely have to. And I just want to make a point here. I've said this before about other coaches, but I think it's something that's really telling is if you can keep, well, the shots against were, yeah, they're pretty high. LA got, as I said, 34. But if you can keep a solid defensive effort overall and you are the coach that's on the road because you get the last line change, that means you're able to put the guys on that are the most effective in keeping the big names. So in this case, your Anze Kopitar. For sure, from doing any damage, you know, that's a testament to the coaching. If you can have the defense perform as well as they did, because you got, as I said, you get the last line change, so you're not going to get the matchup you want, but you know who you can put out there and who can keep the other guy off the score sheet. So I think that's a testament to the coaching, at least for this game.
Oh yeah, and I think the ability for this team to go on the West Coast, play Western Conference type play, and still come out, you know, again, depending on how they do tonight against Kraken. I mean, you know, they could come away with 7 out of a possible 8 points. I mean, that's pretty damn good. And that's a testament to the players as well as the coaching. And Lavi's done a great job, I think.
Yeah, I would say so for sure. Quick rundown of the vitals of this game. Hate to say, other than the Pittsburgh game, it wasn't the Pittsburgh game. Check real quick here. Oh yeah, Anaheim was worse, but not exactly a stellar night at the faceoff dot. 40%, but again, they managed to come away with the win. So hard to say when faceoffs make the difference, honestly. And you know, because all 3 games so far, they you know lost a majority of them, and they still came out the winner. Power play still was kind of 0-for-2 in this game. Really should have made more of their chances, but. Well, credit to Jonathan Quick. I mean, he had a pretty good game too. So
this was probably the most exciting 0-0 game for the first 50 minutes or so.
Oh yeah,
there was great chances across the board, and I mean, Sammy and Quick were making incredible saves throughout that whole game.
Totally agree. So like I said, this is probably the perfect game. In terms of the 100% overall 60-minute effort that you want to see from a team that's on the road. And it, when you consider it's a second, the back end of a back-to-back.
Right.
I didn't see any lack of focus or slowing down or lack of energy at all, not for a single solitary shift.
I agree. And I mean, some of it probably is a little bit to the fact that they have some younger players in there too. You know, yep. They're taking up some of that workload and they have the ability to do those back-to-backs and not affect them as much.
Yep, absolutely. And credit to that, to the staff and to the lineup all around. So then they got a 2-day rest and then it was up Highway 101 to face the Sharks. And, if you like the Kings game, you probably like this one even better. This one, I don't think I've seen this team play this well for this amount of time. I'm struggling to find the words because, if you think about it, this game was even better because the Sharks only managed 22 shots. As opposed to how the Kings got 34. And of course the offense showed up. And when you have everything running on all cylinders, just like you did in the beginning of the week, this is what you're going to get. And I don't know. I didn't know how it was going to come out. I thought maybe this was going to be something of a trap game because San Jose has been doing okay. They're not what they once were, say 2-3 seasons ago, but they've been doing okay for the most part. They're not a bad team. They're just not as dominant as they once were.
Right.
So I didn't know what to expect, but they came out and played their game again. And not only was the offense there, but they really clamped down on this game. And this is what you get. So 4-0 win. Sherry, Ovechkin, Sherry again, and Sherry and Ovechkin both each with 2 goals in this game, in that order that sealed it. And a captain's up to what, 744 now?
Account?
Yep. He was also, of course, named number 1 star of this game. And Samsonov turned away all 22 shots, as I mentioned. And I made a post about this. I'm hoping that people see this and consider it, and maybe the hatred for Sammy will kind of simmer down a bit. But I posted a statistic about him in that in his last starts, all of his combined last starts, he now has a shutout sequence of over 150 minutes. That's 2.5 games. That means for all that amount of time, he hasn't let in a goal. So, you know, I'll admit I've been hard on him because it seemed like he's lost the focus was my one criticism of him. But if he lost it, he's definitely gotten it back.
Yeah, I think, 151, that's a long time to sit there. And it's not like they've been playing cupcakes. I mean, he's had to make some incredible stops during that 151 minutes too.
For sure.
You know, so like if we take a look at it and, you know, if you were GMBM right now and it's getting to the draft next year, you have two RFAs that you need to re-sign. If you were looking at it right now, flash cut, would you go Sammy or would you go VTech?
I give you that, but let's take it. Let's ramp it up a bit. Forget the draft. What about the trade deadline? What if there's more injuries? What if there's another forward or God forbid a defenseman who's hurt that they're going to need, you know, a body, not a call up, but an actual ready to go body who's had some pro experience.
Oh yeah, there's going to be two time frames. It's either going to be the trade deadline or the draft. One of the two that, you know, our GM is going to have to make a very tough decision on, you know. But again, we saw Fukali, you know, a week and a half ago. So you know what you have in the wings too as a potential backup, which is good to know too. But, you know, if you look at the trade deadline or you look at the draft, whichever one it is, it's not going to be an easy decision. But, you know, right now I'd probably say Sammy. And a lot of people might say VTech. It's not going to be easy.
As in who you would trade or who you'd keep?
Yeah, who I'd keep. I'd keep Sammy. Because I see the upside a little bit more on Sammy than I do with VTech. But you're probably going to regret either one that you end up trading. But I think that you're going to end up having to do it. And you might do it, like you said, at the trade deadline out of necessity.
I can totally see that happening because I think this year, unfortunately, more than others, you know, the injury bug, well, forget bug. I think it's becoming an injury epidemic at this point.
Oh yeah.
Number of bodies that have had to sit, but yeah, I mean, that is, well, yeah, that's something I mentioned this maybe 2-3 episodes ago in that, you know, with the goalie controversy and two potential goalies that can be, you know, franchise or game breaking, you've got a bargaining chip. And if you need help, then you've got at least that, I would think. Like you said, you know, Fukali's no slouch either. And it might even be they decide to deal him because I think Fukali's ready right now. I think he could step on to an NHL roster right now and be at the very least a capable backup, if not maybe a 1B or a 1A. Maybe not a number one, maybe not just yet, but I think he's NHL ready right now. And I can't see them holding him down in Hershey for much longer.
No, I agree. The only thing is that you have him under contract for, I think, this year and next year at like $700,000 or somewhere around there. And you have VTech and Sammy that at the end of this year, they're both going to be RFAs. So I can see one of them eventually getting moved, whether, again, like depending on where the timing is going to be one thing. But you have Fukali, you know, under contract for at least the next 2 years, it sounds like. So I can see that him being our backup at some point. And depending on who they decide to keep, it's going to be that number one eventually. But man, they have a decision to make, and like you said, they got a great bargaining chip in which to go with.
Yeah. And so it's not really, if you think about it, it's not really a goalie controversy. This could actually be a good thing.
Oh, how many teams could actually sit there and say that they have three goalies that are 24, 25, and 26, which I think are their ages or somewhere in that range, you know, that could all be number ones. I don't think any team can sit there and boast that.
No,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's a great problem to have.
Yeah, absolutely not. No, we're in a great position as far as goalies. It's just a shame we can't keep them all, like you said, especially with two of them being restricted free agents. But, you know, fortunately, though, with them being RFAs, you know, it's possible that we could keep them if they're willing to, you know, accept a, you know, something of a middle of the road salary. But it's all going to depend on how the team does as a whole. So, yeah, that's really going to be interesting. I think the trade deadline will tell us, you know, kind of show their hand as to, you know, what they're thinking. And then, yeah, I think you're right. I think there might be, if they give a hard look at their roster, they might go ahead and make some sort of a deal at the draft for either picks or maybe some more guys to fill in now that they've got some holes in Hershey, probably with all the call-ups.
Right.
But yeah, I think you got a great point there. That's something to watch. So the Sharks game was pretty great. Power play was 1-for-3. So, you know, they look to be back on track. A bit of a sore spot for them so far this year. But they show flashes of getting back in, but every time they do, it's like then they have an 0-for-2 night and then an 0-for-3 night. And then, you know, it's 2-3 more games before they get one. And I don't know. I don't know if that is because you've had the injuries, because TJ Oshie is such a big part of the number one unit, or if it's just, they've just become too predictable.
Yeah. To me, the power play has been very, very stagnant over the last couple of years. I mean, you can see the plays coming. You can see how they always are trying to push that pass over to Ovi. And don't get me wrong, Ovi's office and his shots are ridiculous. But, you know, the one thing that you see a lot of these successful power plays that are out there right now is they're so dynamic. You know, the passes are moving quick, they're crisp, their shots are you know, coming from all different angles and everything. For us, we got the damn slingshot that still sits out there that just pisses everybody off.
Oh my God. Do not get me started on that. Good Lord.
The damn slingshot, which takes up 10 to 20 seconds every time that they do that, which is just annoying as hell. You know, and then once they get in there, they get into their little spots and they, you know, they pass it and they're slow and they do this and do that. And then, you know, they try to tee up that shot for Ovi. And, you know, I'd love for, you know, more shots to come from, you know, the point with Carlson, or, you know, once Kuzi has it on the side, Kuzi take a shot and have Ovi move. And they've tried it a couple of times, but I mean, put Ovi in the freaking middle or something like that. Get him down near the net, you know, just to move him around and not be so predictable. You know, that's the one thing that I think right now, if there's a spot where they can really improve, and I'm not saying anything that anyone who watches these games, I mean, if they can improve on that power play, man, they're going to be lethal right now, because 5-on-5, they are playing really, really well. And if they keep that up and the defense stays where it is, goaltending, I mean, then it's really the power play. And the power play is a sore spot right now.
Yeah, unfortunately so. And I mean, I don't want to push the panic button here, but I think it's definitely a problem they need to fix sooner than later. Because if you look at the whole history of playoff performance,
yep,
a good power play can make you, a bad power play can break you. If you don't make the most of those opportunities, that's one goal off the board, which.
Well, not only that, but what we've seen, and you know, they get momentum. They get a 5-on-5. They get some really good momentum going. They get some strong, drives going. And then all of a sudden you get that power play. And the power play actually should be something that propels you or keeps that momentum going. And it actually, in some cases, stagnates it and actually kills the momentum. So to your point, yeah, it's so important for them to get back on track with that.
Yeah, I think it's key because, at least by 2 weeks before the playoffs, I would like to see it, see them get it fine-tuned because, I'm not going to say that, 2018, that was the key to their, winning the cup, but you want to see, that's been one of the hallmarks of their game is that killer power play and not just Ovechkin. It's everything. It's Carlson when he's on his game, handling it at the point. It's Oshie causing havoc. It's Tom Wilson being in front of the net. And of course it's Ovechkin with that lethal shot from the left circle. Yep. And it's just not what it once was. And I think if you shut down that aspect of the game, then that's you've kind of cut off a left arm at least, and you're that close to slaying the beast. And in Ovechkin's entire career, what have the Caps have been known for? They've been an offensive juggernaut. So if the power play isn't as good as it can be, then other teams are that much closer to beating them. And that's just doesn't bode well come playoff time. And I think you and I agree. We'd really like to see something of a better performance, not a one and done this year with the potential we've seen.
Oh yeah. And to what you were asking about with that window, the window is only going to be open for so much longer. And I think with some of the youth that came, that you're seeing right now, it helped to potentially open it up a little bit further. But it was closing, and there's only so much more time that you can really rely on the Backstroms and the Oshies and the Ovies and stuff like that. I mean, because they're getting into the mid to late 30s, so we can't have another one and done, like we've had the last couple of years.
No, we can't. And I really would like to see maybe towards the last few games, maybe some of the older guys, get more of a rest. Yeah. Because once the playoff starts, energy gets ramped up, 100,000%, because whoever you face, they're going to come at you and they're not going to stop.
Yeah. And you even saw it when against Boston last year. I mean, they looked slow. They looked tired.
They look slow. They look tired. We heard all the injury reports afterwards. A lot of your key guys weren't 100%, and it was a bad place to be, and there was just no way they were going to come out of it. Not against a team like the Bruins.
Right. So, and that's the beauty of having some of these youngsters that you can actually rely on. And if you want to look at glass half full, having Backstrom out all this time has allowed them the opportunity to really get a good feel for just how good Michael's going to be, So I'm actually, I look at it as it was actually a good thing that we're getting those injuries hopefully out of the way now, early in the season. We're able to see just how good some of these youngsters are that we can rely on.
True enough. So I think this will be our last bit of discussion before we start to wrap it up. But speaking of those younger players, we've had, five or six called up so far this year. Who would you say out of those has been, if any of them, of course, they've all made their mark in some way, but who would you say out of all of them probably has stood out the most to you?
I'd have to say hands down Ferrari.
I mean, really?
I knew that he was going to be coming in, and they were, once they moved on from Chara, they pretty much said that he was going to be, or they relied on the fact that he was going to be part of their starting six on the D side. I did not expect him to be that on that first pairing and playing as good as he has. I mean, you know, he is every bit what we actually needed. And he has shown out every time. And he's playing better than I would have expected, really, out of his first year. I mean, Connor, I like, and, you know, I think that he's going to, he's really solidifying himself. But if I had to say of all of them right now, it's Tavari.
I like his skating ability. I like the fact that he covers the ice very well. I'm probably a tiny bit dubious on his puck handling. He's not horrible. He's not a bobbler like Orlov can be at times. Not all the time, at times. But I'm not sold on his puck moving ability just yet. I think he needs a little bit more work on that. But I do like his skating. I do like that he covers the ice very, very well. And I think he's going to, sooner or later, he is going to dethrone Carlson in the time on ice leader.
I agree.
And eventually be the one that gets the 25, 26, 29 minutes even a game because of how he can do that. And yep. since he's so young, yeah, now would be the time to kind of groom him towards that. So yeah, I do like that much. So yeah, he's pretty good. Somebody in the Facebook room tried to sell me on the fact that he was Calder Trophy material.
No,
I don't know about that.
And to your point, I mean, there's still parts to his game that he needs to improve on, but the dude's 22, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, he is he's somebody who you can sit there and constantly work on, but the fact that he's already on that top pairing and doing as well as he is, right now of all the rookies, he's the one that I think I'm most impressed on. But that's not to say that any of the other ones you couldn't sit there and point to and be like, I'm really liking their game. You know, and I think that's something that I didn't really, I mean, I know that from a Hershey perspective, you know, they played well, but I just didn't know how their game was going to translate to the NHL, but they're playing pretty damn good.
They are. They absolutely are. I would say the one I'm most impressed with is, and I guess I shouldn't be because he's been groomed for it the whole time is Connor McMichael. Now, yep. he was pretty much slotted into the a bottom six position. It was pretty much guaranteed for him. And then the whole thing with Hendrix LaPierre happened, and I don't think that was the intention, but that kind of set him back a little bit because they're both centers and they kind of had to platoon a bit. And yeah, I think that kind of messed him up a little bit. And now that they've made the right call and sent Hendrix back to the queue to get another year at junior playing, you know, guys his own age, I think that was the right call. And good for them both, development wise. I think what you're going to get out of McMichael is he's got a lot of offensive upside, but I think what he's going to end up being is he's going to be a lot like a Lars Eller in being your second or third line center. Getting those minutes and give you a solid two-way effort every game. Maybe not going to be a game-breaking goal scorer. Maybe nothing like that. He'll probably get you anywhere from 25 to 35 goals a year, but he's not going to hurt you on the back end either. His back checking is pretty good from what I've seen. So I think that's what he's going to end up being. He's going the slow and steady route over his development. And I think that's the best for him. If you're expecting 40, 50 goals from the guy, you know, I know everybody's seen the highlights in Hershey and in London and junior. And my advice to you is don't. Realistically, what he's going to give you is a Lars Eller type game. He's going to be solid at the dot, solid at both ends, going to chip in at least 20 goals and not really disappoint. So I think right now he's the blue chip of all the rookies, at least to me. Of course, I can't argue with what you said about Favari, though. He's pretty up there. So he's probably going to be the anchor of the decor in years to come. Go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, from an offensive standpoint, definitely Connor. My one thing that I wonder on with regards to, the rest of this year is, once Backstrom does come back, he's going to fall into that second line center. Eller probably will still, handle that third line center. Like, where does Connor go at that point for the rest of the year once Backstrom comes back? Because I think he's proved that he should be on that second line spot.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting question. I forget who it was. I think it was either Nova Caps or Japers Rink. One of them put out the article of, what do you do when the vets come back?
Yeah.
Who do you put where? And they mentioned, not to get into another potential argument, but the popular opinion is, wave Carl Hagelin.
Yeah.
And, I can see that happening.
I can see that. I mean, again, Hagelin has that speed, but, he's got stone hands. He can't score. He's good on the penalty kill, but is that worth the $2.5-3 million that he gets?
No. And I think the cap savings I saw, if they waived him or buried his contract or whatever is legal, available legally to them, is the cap savings would be like $1.25 million. So that'd be enough to pay, two of your first year rookies, or close to it. So that probably is going to be end up making the most sense in the long run if they, have to make that choice. So
that makes sense. It makes sense in the grand scheme of things. And then I guess you'd probably put Connor somewhere on the wings, at least for the rest of the year.
Yeah. And that's the one, that's probably another benefit to Connor McMichael's game, is that he's a natural center, but he can play the wing too.
Yep.
So if you need to move him, he can work either side. So yeah, that's a benefit as well. Okay, so we're getting a bit long on time, so we're going to start to wrap it up here. Okay, so tonight, of course, as we're recording this, it's November the 21st. Tonight they have a game, their first ever game against the Seattle Kraken, 9 o'clock faceoff puck drop at the Climate Pledge Arena against them. If I can get this out in time, hopefully you enjoy the podcast and then watch the game, and then, back home again, this coming Wednesday, 7 o'clock puck drop against the Canadiens, the first against them. And then back again on Friday, a bit of a early start for Black Friday, 5 PM puck drop against the Florida Panthers. And that's gonna round out that week. And then to start the week, they go on the road again. Quick little road trip down south, Carolina for a Sunday matinee, and Tuesday against the Panthers once again for an evening tilt there. So that's gonna end out the month of November. And a lot of good games. That Carolina game, I thought I'd like to. That's gonna be a good one. Probably going to be a pretty good test of how they really fare. Not that, like you said, not that they've been playing cream puffs, but Carolina's got a pretty solid team this year.
Oh, they're very good. I mean, right now they're the class of the East right now. But Florida and Tampa are right there along with them, and it's going to be a good game, good tilt.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, coming up, that's going to be the one to watch. And since it's a 1 o'clock game, we'll have that covered on next week's episode. Speaking of this coming week, that's going to wrap it up. But speaking of this coming week, to our loyal listeners out there, I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. thank you all so much for supporting the show. And real quick, I promised everybody, and not to get really, really sappy about this, but before last night's game, I was kind of, I made that post. I was kind of feeling like, okay, well, I feel like I'm going to be all alone here because everybody's like, well, it's West Coast games and they really don't want to stay up. So I made kind of a half-assed joke post of, gee, I think I'm going to be watching the game tonight, but even if I am by myself, it's worth it. So I want to start with you, Doug. Thanks for commenting and liking the post. Thanks so much for coming on and spending time.
Anytime, my friend.
So let me just go ahead and read off the names of the loyal listeners here. Catherine Clayton, Laura Kirshner, Lorenzo Robinson, Lynn Christian Riegert, my buddy Paul Hackett, Betsy Graham Myers, Heather Louise Smart Brazier, Stacy Cleek, Robin King, Eleanor Zembruski, Marvin Fleischer, Diane Doyle, Jeffrey Sweetland, Kevin Walsh, Ben Adam Harkonnen, Sonia Kendall, Tony Alcott, Curtis Jacques, Tony Stillard, Chris Slagle, Casey Malone, Mary Hughes, Debbie Jameson Adams, Howard Burns, Curtina Sharp, and of course, my buddy Tom Gobble with some interesting comments on there. And yeah, just want to take a few seconds to thank you all because you're showing me real loyalty there by saying that. And we're kind of small potatoes here. I don't make any secret of that. And it was great to see a bunch of you guys come out and in support of really supporting the page and the show. And so I wanted to take time to name you all and thank you all for coming out and supporting. Oh, I forgot one name, Rudy Arca. Who said he was going to make sure he caught a late night shower to make sure he could catch the game. So thanks, Rudy, for that. Okay. So, all right. So any final comments, observations, questions, complaints, people you want to kill, Doug?
No, just happy Thanksgiving to everyone who listens to this. And, whenever the games are on, anything on social media, whether it be, the Facebook group or whatever, I mean, it always makes the experience that much better when you have good dialogue going throughout the game. So keep it up. I think it was great to see that, people are up late watching these games, but no matter what, it makes it a lot more fun throughout. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Love to see the fans getting involved. So from one fan to another, thank you so much, Doug, for being on with us. So we're going to wrap it up here. Enjoy the game tonight and the week that is. So this is the Blue Liner on Point, signing off and reminding you that I'm not really a fan of Russian nesting dolls, and I'll tell you why. They're just so full of themselves. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Let's go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.
That was funny.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. I can't get anybody else to laugh at my jokes.
That was good.
Not even my own wife.